Does anybody feel the Lord in the house? Praise God. He is definitely here. Praise God. You can be seated real quickly. Brother Dawson was mentioning about the New Life class, and I want to emphasize that. We usually were doing that on like Monday nights and different things, and they wouldn't work out. So we're going to try a new procedure, and the New Life class is going to be on Sunday mornings. And it's like a brand new spanking baby. When they come into the world, you don't give them steak and potatoes. Amen. At least that's what I was taught. You don't give them steak. You don't give them hot dogs. You've got to give them some milk. Then you got to give them a little bit of cereal. And then you keep on going for there because they cannot digest those things. And so this is what that new converts class is all about. Is giving you some things that you can easily digest. Some things that are back to the basics, basically. Praise God. A lot of things that are taught in here, you may choke on. But if you're in there, it's just starting you from ground zero. Amen? So if you are interested in that, I want to give you another opportunity to dismiss yourself. And it's the first Sunday school class as you're going down the wing on the right. And I believe they have a sign up for that. Praise God. Also, as I'm giving you an opportunity to dismiss yourself, also today, somebody shout at 4:30, we've got a media / singers / musicians / anybody that wants to be a part, praise God, meeting this afternoon at 4:30. Brother Adams wants to meet with all the ones that, even if you are not involved in the media room, in singing and the choir and everything of that nature, please come to this meeting. Praise God. I know we had a sign-up sheet that said to several of the people, if you are interested in the media room, you need to show up this afternoon at 4:30. Did I do okay job, Bishop? Praise God. Make sure you're here at 4:30 sharp. Praise God. I want to read something very quickly. And God created the mule and told him, you will be mule, working constantly from dusk till dawn, carrying heavy loads on your back. You will eat grass and lack intelligence. Somebody say, lack intelligence. You will live for 50 years. And the mule answered, to live like this for 50 years is too much. Please give me no more than 20. And it was so. Then God created the dog and told him, you will hold vigilance over the dwellings of man, to whom you will be his greatest, somebody shout, companion. You will eat his table scraps and live for 25 years. And the dog responded, Lord, to live 25 years as a dog like this is way too much. Please, no more than 10 years. And it was so. And God then created a monkey. Somebody say a monkey. Don't look at your neighbor when you say that. And told him, you are monkey. You shall swing from tree to tree, acting strange. You will be funny, and you shall live 20 years. And the monkey responded, Lord, to live 20 years as the clown of the world is too much. Please, Lord, give me no more than 10 years. And it was so. And finally, God created man. Somebody say man. And told him, you are man, the only rational being that walks on the earth. You will use your intelligence to have mastery over the creations of the world. You will dominate the earth and live for 20 years. And the man responded, Lord, to be man for only 20 years is way too little. Please, Lord, give me the 20 years the mule refused. The 15 years the dog refused. And the 10 years the monkey rejected. And it was so. And so God made man to live 20 years as a man, then marry and live 20 years like a mule, working and carrying heavy loads on his back. Then he is to have children and live 15 years as a dog, guarding his house and eating the leftovers after they empty the pantry. Then in his old age, to live 10 years as a monkey, acting strange to amuse his grandchildren. And it was so. Praise God. Bishop, I think I'm on phase two. Praise God. Praise God. That's not to anybody. Praise God. In fact, I should have just read that to the man and had the women just close their ears while I read that. But praise God, I totally slipped that. That slipped out of my mind. Praise God. We are in the house of the Lord. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is liberty. Liberty to worship God. Liberty to praise God. However you feel free. And what I want you to do for the next 30 seconds is just stand to your feet, lift up your hands, lift up your voice, lift up your face, and however you feel comfortable in praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I want you to do that. In the name of Jesus, I worship You. I praise You. I magnify You. I exalt You. You're still on the throne. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise You, we praise You, we worship You. It is indeed an honor and a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Every time we enter into His presence, we need to be in awe. Amen. Praise God. Not everybody has an opportunity to feel what we feel, to experience what we experience. And we never need to take for granted the presence of God. We never need to take for granted the church. We never need to take for granted, Brother Carlton, our brothers and our sisters, people that we worship with, people that we cry with, people that we rejoice with, people that we go through situations with each other. Praise God. When I go through a trial, you know what? There are other people that are going through a trial. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to get our minds made up and we're going to go through that trial together. Because You're my brother. Because You're my sister. We're going to take each other by the hand and we together are going to work and we're going to make it because God's grace and His mercy is sufficient. Praise God. With that in mind, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms, the 27th chapter. And it is so good to see all our visitors in the house of the Lord this morning. Psalms 27, 1 through 8. If you're there, say amen. Somebody shout, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, they're going to come one of these days, amen, come upon me to eat up my flesh, to devour me. They stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, somebody say in trouble. Have you ever been in trouble? I'm not talking about getting in trouble because you put your finger in the, or your hand in the cookie jar. I'm talking about in trouble. He shall hide me in His pavilion. Folks, I want you to know, when you have Jesus, you've got a friend that will stick closer than a brother. When you go through your trial, He's going to go with it, with you through it. When you go through your pain, He's going to be right there. When you have tragedy, He's going to be there to undergird you. No matter what you go through, no matter what you face, the trouble that is surrounding you, you have a friend that you can call on and He's going to be there on time. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle. Somebody shout, sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Even when I don't feel like singing, I'm going to sing. Even when I don't feel like praising, I'm going to praise. Even when I don't feel like worshiping Him, I'm still going to worship Him. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord. Have you ever just said, hear me, O Lord. Hear my cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face. Somebody say, seek ye. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Going back to verse 4. Does anybody realize that I missed 5 words of a sentence? One thing. Did anybody notice that? If you noticed that. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. You see, I just have a notion, Brother Barrett, that as David was penning these verses, he penned, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. But suddenly something checked him in his spirit. And there had to be something more and something deeper than just those words. There had to be something that gone beyond the threshold, beyond that door. Because you see, without the words, that will I seek after. It would have not meant anything. But when you place those words, Lord, that will I seek after. You see, in the hour that we live in, it's easy to talk the talk, but it's harder to walk the walk. It's easy to talk the game, but then you're going to have to put on your tennis shoes and you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to prove that you're a ball player. Amen? So in my mind, I was reading over this and those words sort of jumped out to me. That will I seek after. And I want to preach for just the next few minutes on something that is really simple. No catchy phrase, no catchy title, but that will I seek after. That will I seek after. Place your Bibles down, lift up your hands, your hearts and voice. In the name of Jesus, we need you in this place, Father. I need you to anoint my lips of clay. I need you to anoint me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Allow me to be a vessel, God, that you can fill up and distribute all over this place, oh God. Walk up and down these aisles, in and out of these pews. Touch hearts, touch lives. Change them forever. Bless us, oh God, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, and you may be seated. That will I seek after. Mackenzie, my 3-year-old daughter, loves to play dress up. In fact, just the other day, Tanya called me and motioned me into Mackenzie's room, and as I looked, I saw clothes scattered, Sister Sullivan, everywhere. Her mother went to the first drawer of the dresser and opened it up. She said, "No clothes!" and slammed it. Pulled open the second door, "No clothes!" and slammed it. The third and fourth, "No clothes!" And I was wondering where all the clothes were, and I looked down and they were scattered everywhere. Under the bed, on the bed, everywhere. Her and Cameron decided to play dress up. And instead of using one outfit, they used every outfit that Mackenzie owned. And so needless to say, she had to clean up her room and got a little spanking. But during Christmas time, Mackenzie got a couple outfits that she could play dress up. One was Belle and the other was Cinderella. And Sister Sullivan, as soon as she got that package, her face lit up like a star. She wanted to open it up. She wanted to get those dresses on, those gowns on, and those pearls on, and that little thing that you put on your head that makes you look like a princess. And she couldn't wait to get it all on. And when she came in, she was strutting. She was styling and profiling. She was Little Miss Cinderella. Isn't it amazing that a three-year-old can associate clothes to that individual? Whether it be Belle, whether it be Snow White, whether it be a princess, whether it be Cinderella. But she can tell by whatever they are wearing what that character is. If she sees seven dwarfs, she knows that it's Snow White. She knows if it's a yellow dress with glass slippers, it's Cinderella. If she sees the outfit that Snow White is wearing, she knows in her mind that that's Snow White and that's Belle and that's this character and it's that character. Amen? And it's so amazing, it intrigues me that a person, a tiny person, a three-year-old child, can associate all those things. And even growing up, getting older, I remember when I was coming to church as a small child. Anybody remember Miami Vice? I remember when my brother-in-law thought he was a stud. He thought he was a man. He walked into church and had those Italian threads on. Had the little t-shirt on. Had the jacket on. Who's his name? Don Johnson? Yeah. Would wear shoes with no socks on. You know what they were trying to do? They were trying to emulate. They were trying to be somebody that they were not. But they still wanted to try and relate to somebody. And the only way they could relate to that somebody or that individual is to dress like them. Anybody remember the Fall Guy? Anybody remember? Some of you remember the Fall Guy. And Chuck Norris, the Texas Ranger. See these kids during Halloween, man, they got the mask on. They're trying to be somebody that they're not. I remember when I was just a little child growing up, a little kid. You know who my idol was? You know who my superstar was? You know who I wanted to be like? I wanted to be like Michael Jordan. I know I got a little pigment problem, but, you know. You see, Larry Bird was sort of fading out. And Michael Jordan was the one. He was the up-and-coming man. But you see, as a young child, I had some ambitions. I had some goals. I had some desires in my life that I wanted to be like. And I wanted to seek after them. And so you know what I would do as just a little boy in my mind? In order for me to be like Mike, I had to dress like Mike. I had to act like Mike. I had to dribble the ball like Mike. I had to go to the hoop like Mike. And in my mind, on the basketball court, at home, I'd be dribbling.
I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky.
And you know what I would do? I would imagine I was in an arena. I would imagine that there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people all around me in the Coliseum watching Anthony Air Galley coming down the court. Man, I would take the ball between my legs. I would do the crossover. Doing everything to emulate somebody that I had never met. But it was my desire. And whether it was a good desire, a poor desire, or what, it was still a dream that I had. I wanted to be on the magazine. I wanted to be on the billboard. I wanted to be. In fact, they had those songs out. If I could be like Mike. Y'all remember that? If I could just be like Mike. If I could just be like Jordan. If I could just glide through the air and defying all odds and gravity. If I could just dunk like him. If I can just juke and jive. If I could just, you know, shoot that three-pointer like him. If I could just slam like him. Then I would be on the top of my game. But I would imagine I was the referee. I was Michael Jordan. I was the one that was calling the game. And here comes Anthony Air Galley. He's coming down the court. 10 seconds left. They're down by 2 points. 5 seconds left. He makes his moves. He takes it between his legs. He puts it behind his back. 3 seconds. 2. He jumps back beyond the three-point arc and does that fadeaway. And in my mind, Brother Carlton, I'm going through every step. In my mind, I'm doing it. I hear the crowd. I'm seeing Mom and Dad over there. I'm seeing my brother and my sister. I'm seeing all my friends. They're on their feet. They've got signs. Go, Anthony Air Galley. 2. The ball is released. And all of a sudden the ball was floating through the air. As all time has stopped. No more ticks on the clock. And the ball was floating. Closer and closer and closer to the hoop. I can just imagine it. Nothing but net. The crowd is on their feet. They're going crazy. Their teammates take Air Galley up. And everybody's excited. It was a dream that I had. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. Especially young men. We dream of that. As kids, we do it all the time. I remember in school, we'd be in the very back 3-point line and somebody be counting 5, 4, 3, 2 and then we just launch it. But you know what? We keep on getting that second, third chance, that fourth chance. But in our minds, in our imaginary minds, we always make that shot. We have desires. We all have desires. We all have goals. In fact, there are some of you that want to be a superhero. Some of us older ones, we look at actors and actresses and people that we don't even know. And we see them and we want to be like them. There are people, women, that are actually going and getting facelifts so they can look just like a certain actress. Men that are going to be going through surgery so they can be just like this person or that person. I've always imagined standing on the 50-yard line during the Super Bowl, singing the national anthem. Oh, say can you see? the free. And the home of the brave. The crowd's going crazy. You see, every single one of us have imagined that in our minds. But I'm the only stupid one that would stand before you and show off my ignorance. But I have desires. You have desires. We have dreams. And you know what? We all have these things. But they would never amount to a hill of beans unless we seek after them. Unless we strive after them. Unless every day we wake up, we say, I'm going to be this certain person. I'm going to do my best to be the best preacher I can ever be. I'm going to do my best to be the best housewife I could ever be. I'm going to do my best to be whatever I want to be, and I'm going to do it with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. And one thing that amazes me, that David said one thing, not a multitude of things. It wasn't some Christmas list. Let me give you everything that I desire, everything that I want in life. David said no. Just this one thing have I desired. The same man of God that said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. What do you think he was saying? What he was saying was, I would rather be an usher in the house of the Lord. I would rather be the maintenance man. Changing light bulbs every now and then. Cleaning the commodes every now and then. Taking the trash out every now and then. I'd rather be that person living for God in the house of God than the Donald Trumps of this world. That is saying a lot. Because in the world and society that we live in, everybody's got a dream. Everybody wants to be rich. Everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants to be somebody that they're not. We've got little kids, they want to be Superman. They want to be Mickey Mouse. They want to be Donald Duck. They want to be Spider-Man. Oh yeah, I see the kids. Everybody wants to be somebody that they're not. We need to be the person that God has ordained us and wants us to be. We don't need to be a bunch of clones. This is the generation that we live in. Everybody wants to be somebody that they're not. You've got all these rap stars, and then you got a generation, everybody wants to be a rap star. Everybody wants to get all the jewelry, all the chains, almost like a hubcap around their neck. They want to drop their drawers. They want to dress like them. They want to talk like them. They want to act like them. You see it all the time. We see it on the billboards. We see it on TV. We hear it on the news. Everybody's trying to be somebody. Everybody's trying to be somebody that they're not. We need to be what God wants us to be. Young person, fall in love with God. Fall in love with the things of God. Don't try and be and emulate and imitate what the world wants you to be, but emulate people that love God. One thing have I desired, O Lord, and that will I seek after. That will I long after. I will never be content until I am in the house of the Lord. I will never be content until I am shouting the streets of glory. I will never be content until you have flooded my soul. I will never be content until your anointing has saturated me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. That needs to be our prayer. That needs to be what we long for. Lord, it's not my will, but it's Your will. It's not what I want, but it's what You want. I'm going to put everything to the side. I'm going to put everything that I want to the side. And I'm going to place everything that You want top priority. You see, the reason why we've got so many young people that are backsliding in this hour is because they don't have God on their top priority list. They've got fame, they've got fortune, they've got education. And I'm not saying that education is bad, but when it comes before God, then it makes it wrong. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. Oh my Lord, have mercy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And He said, all these things will be added to you. If you'll seek My face, if you'll seek My throne, if you'll seek My will, then I will bless you. He said, I desire to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings where there's no room for you to receive. But if you keep on seeking fame, if you keep on seeking fortune, if you keep on seeking prosperity in the world, then you're not going to get what God has in store for you. One thing. Just one thing. See, you've got to understand, David was a king. David was a man. David had the riches. David had everything. But you've got to understand, before he was king, he was a shepherd boy. Before he was a shepherd boy, he was a servant. And he was, oh my Lord, have mercy. Young people, before you can be up here, you've got to stay down here. You've got to learn to, oh my Lord, have mercy. You've got to learn to follow before you can lead. Get your priorities right. Mom and Dad, get your priorities right. Quit wanting stuff up here. Just keep on getting the little things, the little gold nuggets that God lays out before you. Keep on serving God. Keep on seeking God. Keep on worshiping God. Keep on being faithful to the house of God. Keep on singing when you don't feel like singing. Keep on clapping when you don't feel like clapping. Then all of a sudden, when you get the gold nuggets down here, all of a sudden He's going to give you prosperity. He's going to give you some promotions. And then instead of staying down here, all of a sudden you're going to be up here. Then you're going to be climbing the ladder. He said, ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek, 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 and ye shall find. Brother Galley, what if I ask and it don't happen? You got to keep on asking. You got to be consistent. You got to be persistent. You got to keep on saying, God, I know it may not be my will, but if it's your will, then let it come to pass. Open up the doors where doors have... My God, have mercy. Open up the doors where the doors have slammed shut in my face. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. All of a sudden, those doors will open. All of a sudden, God's going to say, hey, they've been persistent. They've been faithful. And He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. He's going to open up those windows. And He's going to pour you out a blessing where there's no room enough for you to receive. You're going to have to call a U-Haul, honey. You're going to have to, hey, get that truck over here. I've got so many things that the Lord is bestowing upon me. I don't have room enough for them. And all of a sudden, God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Every time I turn around, God is making a way. Oh, Shandai Ororo Moshiha. Look at your neighbor and say, God's fixing to make a way for you. The devil's a liar. He's going to make a way. This week He's going to make a way for you. This week He's going to... Somebody prophesy right now. This week God is going to make a way for me. I'm standing in front of my mountain, but this week I'm going to go over my mountain. This week I know I'm standing... I know I'm standing in front of my valley, but this week God's going to make a way. Come on, I know you can make it. Come on, I know you can make it. You've been faithful to God. God's going to be faithful to you. You've worshiped when you don't feel like worshiping. God's going to... Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Woo! Come on. Come on, I feel like fighting. I feel like whooping every devil inside. I feel... One thing have I desired from you, O Lord, and that will I seek after. I'm going to keep on seeking. Even when I don't feel like seeking, I'm going to seek. Even though I don't feel like knocking. Brother Gally, you realize how long I've been knocking? Do you realize how long I've been asking God to make a way where there seems to be no way? Honey, I may not understand it, but all I can do is stand on the promises of God. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Keep on being faithful to God, and God's going to be faithful to you. One thing. Somebody shout, one thing. Have I desire. We desire a lot of things. But you know what? You better put God back on your top priority list. Jacob, the great man of God, wrestled with the Lord. The Lord said, let me go, turn me loose. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to turn you loose until you bless me. What would happen if every single one of us had that type of zeal, that type of attitude? And when trials come and situations arise, we're not the ones that throw in the towel. We're not the ones that give up and give in. But we're the ones that hang on. You blessed me yesterday, you're going to bless me today. You blessed me today, and you're going to bless me tomorrow. You kept me yesterday, you're going to keep me in the days to come. The song says, I almost gave up. I almost gave in. The devil thought he had me, but Jesus came and grabbed me. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like you're holding on to the last branch? Do you ever feel like you're holding on to the last string? Everything around you is giving in. Everything's turning loose, and all of a sudden, right when you think you're falling, right when you feel, oh, Shandai Ororo Moshiha, right when the devil thinks he's got you, Jesus comes and grabs you. Jesus comes and says, I've got you. I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. All of a sudden, he begins to whisper in your ear, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Come on, it's morning time for somebody. Don't you feel like He's forsaken you? Don't you feel like He's left you out there to wander on your own? He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. Come on. He didn't teach us to swim just to let us drown. He didn't build a home for us just to move away. He's coming for you. He's coming for me. I'm not about to turn you loose until you bless me. Job, just curse God and die. Sinners got it better than you. Woman, you talk like a fool. What is wrong with you? Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Oh, my Shandai Ororo Moshiach. I feel like there's a dam inside me just wanting to burst. Just wanting to flow throughout this congregation. He gives and He takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What are you saying, Job? He's still faithful. Even when I'm not faithful, He's still faithful. And Matthew gives an account of the woman with the issue of blood. You know the story. This woman, she was sick. She had gone to every doctor. She had gone to every physician. She had spent all she had. She had gone to her bank account. She had withdrew everything that was in it. She had cashed in her last bond, broken the kid's last piggy bank, just to get a few more pennies, coins, so she could find somebody that had some type of potion, that had some type of cure from her disease. She had gone to every witch doctor, Brother Barrett. She had gone to every library, searching in every medical book, trying to find some type of potion, some type of cure for her disease. But one day, she heard. Somebody say she heard about a man named Jesus. Folks, one day, you heard about a man named Jesus. Whether it was somebody that was knocking on your door, that invited you to Sunday school, or you saw an invitation on somebody else's door, or you saw some type of material in the doctor's office, you heard about a man named Jesus. And in your mind you said, I've tried the physicians, I've tried the doctors, I've tried husbands, I've tried boyfriends. I've tried everything. Trying to find some type of companion. Trying to find some type of friendship. Trying to find something to fill the void in my life. The song says, when you've tried everything and everything else has failed, try Jesus. He'll never fail. But why is it, Brother Carlton, that we always resort to the Lord as our final step? Why can't we resort to Him the first step? Why can't He be our first move? It's so sad that crises brings us to Christ. But thank God for crises. Thank God for situations that somehow takes us around and brings us right to the throne room of heaven. But you know, this woman, she could have said, you know what? I give up. I've been to the shrinks. I've been to the witch doctors. I've been to the physicians. I don't have no more money. I don't have nothing to offer. I'm just going to give up. No. There was something inside that lady that said, if I can but just touch the hem of His garment. I don't want to cause a big scene. I don't want to get everybody distracted. I just have a feeling. If I can just but touch the hem of His garment, that I will be made whole. It was her last chance. It was her last opportunity. Her friends didn't have to beg her, please come to church. Please let me give you a Bible study. Please, one more time, give the Lord one more opportunity to touch you. No. In fact, her friends were the ones that were trying to keep her from going to see Jesus. Brother Nofsinger, there was a desperation inside her that welled up, that drove her. When everybody around her said, look at that lady. Who does she think she is? You think you're going to cut line? No way. Some of us throw a fit when we think somebody's going to jump in front of us at the express at Walmart. Yeah, that's the truth. We're human. I get mad. I get upset too. But I've never jumped on the conveyor belt and threw a fit. But these people, Mommy Elaine, they were going crazy. They pushed her to the side. They said, "Woman, we've been here. We've been staked out for hours. You're not cutting line. You're not going to get in front of us. Get behind us." But she was desperate. This may be her last opportunity. And she began to crawl on her knees. You know what? She was probably pushed and fell flat on her face. But you know what, Brother Jonathan? That didn't stop her. She kept on. She kept on crawling. She kept on crawling. When they stepped on her fingers and broke her fingernail, she kept on crawling. She kept on. She kept on seeking His face. She kept on praying. She kept on fasting. She kept on doing what she knew was right. And finally, when she made it to where He was, desperation. You see, folks, desperate needs require desperate measures. I've seen people come to the altar. Ain't no show. And you know what? I believe God would have a hard time trying to bless somebody like that. Because you're too worried about your hair. You're too worried about your clothes. I remember Brother Adams telling a story about we were having a tent revival. And this guy got out of his vehicle. He had been listening to the bishop preach. He got out of his vehicle. Brother Nofsinger had a white hat, white shirt, white jacket, white trousers, white socks, white shoes. If he went that far, he probably had white underwear too. I mean, he was decked out in nothing but white. But you know what? When he got down to the altar, and it was nothing but sawdust and hay and mud and dirt from where it's been raining. He wasn't worried about that white suit. He wasn't worried about those white shoes. You know what he did? He did a nosedive. And you know what God did? God touched him. God ministered to him. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost. What are you saying, Brother Galley? He was desperate. He needed a touch from God. He wasn't worried about the women. He wasn't worried about who, what he would say or what she would say. All he was worried about, what is he going to say? And this woman was desperate. So don't you think that you're going to get something from God by just going through the motions and going through the mechanics. But when you need something desperately for God, you're going to cry out like that man that beat his chest and cried out to God. Like blind Bartimaeus, everybody around him was saying, "Shut up, blind man, what's wrong with you?" He kept on shouting, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Shut up. No. This could be my last opportunity. He just stepped around the corner. He's headed the wrong way. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." All of a sudden, the disciples say, "Jesus, what's wrong?" Somebody's desperate. Almost like a magnet. Drawing. What are you doing? Don't you know? We've got an appointment down here with the mayor. We've got an appointment with elite officers. They can wait. Somebody's desperate. I wonder today in this service if God is just walking by. If God is just strolling on the water, just like He was that day when He was going to pass by the disciples. Because the Bible said He would have passed them by. But they began to cry and shout unto the Lord. And He stopped. He had their attention. And today, somebody from your heart, from your gut, oh, have mercy on me, oh God. I know I haven't been everything that I ought to have been. I know I've messed up as a husband. I know that I haven't been the right, correct father that I needed to be. But God, if You'll just give me one more chance. If You will give me one more opportunity. If You'll just come to my aid one more time. God will not turn a deaf ear to somebody that is desperate. Lift up your hands all over this place. She was desperate. And when she touched the hem of that garment, she was made whole. What if she had listened to her friend? What if she had listened to her boyfriend? What if you listen to that voice that says, nah, wait till next week. Seek Him while He is near. Seek Him while He can be found. Call upon the Lord while He is near. What if she allowed that moment of opportunity, that window of opportunity to escape? She would have died in her infirmity. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. You can be like Psalmist David. One thing have I desired. But it didn't stop there. And he said, and that will I seek after. I have a goal. I have an ambition in my life. I've got a dream. I'm not going to allow this dream to lie dormant. I've got to go after it. Every single one of us, as I was talking about dreams and ambitions and goals, we can talk about a goal all our life, but if you don't pursue that dream, if you don't follow after that dream, that's all it will be, is a dream. But if you can get the spirit that David said it in, and that will I seek after. When obstacles get in my way, I'm still going to seek. When trials arise, I'm still going to seek. When problems surround me, I'm still going to seek. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I close with asking a question. What is it that you're seeking? What is it that you're seeking? If it's anything other than God, you're going to be a failure. He said, what doth it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I feel the Lord in this place. I feel Him walking up and down these aisles, in and out of these pews. There's some under the sound of my voice. You're seeking material things, and it seems like every time I see you reaching, and it's almost as if you see it and you grab a hold of it, but it's almost as if you're grabbing nothing but a bunch of thin air. And then just to open up your fist to see that there's nothing there. Today you need to have a change of heart. You need to seek Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so doth my soul panteth after Thee, O Lord. I'm longing for You. I'm longing for one more drink, one more touch, one more manifestation of Your glory in my life. I'm seeking You. I'm seeking You. I open up this altar for somebody that wants to get their priorities, get all their ducks in a row, and say, Lord, I've been pursuing some things that I know I shouldn't be pursuing. I'm going to seek Your face. Today, it's going to be a brand new start. Today, it's going to be a brand new start. My God, I feel that for somebody under the sound of my voice. The devil's saying, it's over. But I want to tell you, it's just begun. It can be the beginning and not the finishing. It can be a starting point. Sister, why don't you take a sister by the hand? Brother, take a brother by the hand as the Lord is passing by and He's ministering. He's ministering hope to somebody. He's ministering peace to somebody. Jesus. Jesus. Why don't you stand to your feet and lift up your hands and just wave them so gently? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody call on that name. Call on that name. Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. Come on, I've got some goals. I've got some dreams. I've got some ambitions in my life. But Lord, nothing's worth losing my soul over. I'm going to seek Your face. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Come on, the Lord is moving. The Lord is moving. Jesus. Jesus. Sir, ma'am, this is what you've been looking for. This is what you've been searching. Don't let this slip through your fingers. Don't let His mercy and His grace be subdued. But be like the man of God that grabbed a hold of Him and said, I'm not going to turn loose until You bless me. Come on, I feel that in this service. Somebody just needs to step out of your pew and make their way towards this altar and embrace Him and say, Lord, I'm not going to leave this altar area until You bless me. Until You bless me one more time. Come on, are there any young people that feel that way? Lord, I'm not going to leave until You bless me. Are there any mom and dads that say, Lord, I'm not going to leave until You bless me. I'm going to seek Your face, oh God. Saints, I need You to help me pray. I need You to help me pray. Sister, if you feel to go to another sister, what I want you to do, I want you to obey the Lord. Just go to that sister, brother. Go to that brother. Speak a word of comfort. Speak a word of peace. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Come on, how desperate are you? Come on, how desperate are you? He said, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. He's not far from any one of us. All you have to do is reach out. Sir, all you have to do is reach out this morning. Ma'am, all you have to do is reach out. If you can't feel him to your left, reach to your right. If he's not to your right, reach in front of you. You will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. I see somebody standing in front of a door. I hear the echoes of the knocking. And I see you in a motion to turn your back on the door and walk away. But the Lord says, if you'll just be consistent, if you'll just keep on knocking, I will open up the door. I want to pray for somebody. I want to pray for you. You're standing before a door. You're looking for some type of direction. Hashandai ololo moshiha. Don't give up. They're going to hold the music. Listen to me. I see you standing in front of a door. And you've been praying that God would open up a door. I want to pray for you right now. Because God's going to make a way. Please hurry. I don't have a lot of time. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.